Hi everyone, this is Vishen Lakhiani, and for today's interview, I have someone who has influenced my life in amazing ways. Her name is Laura Silva, and she is the head of the Silva Method. Laura, how are you today?
I'm fine, Vishen. So good to talk to you once again.
And Laura, just for the sake of people listening, I'd like to just share a personal story with the Silva Method, so people know what this interview is going to be about, and exactly why I say that you're one of the people who has influenced my life the most. Is that cool?
Okay.
Okay. So
that's great.
So
yes.
So everyone listening, here's what happened. I was introduced to the Silva Method way back when I was 14 years old. Seriously, I was that young. I had ridiculously bad eyesight at that time. And so here's what happened. I was introduced to the Silva Method when I was 14 years old. I stumbled upon a book, the Silva Mind Control Method, on my dad's bookshelf. And that book had an amazing influence on my life. At a very early age, it taught me how to get to the alpha level of mind, which is pretty much what we would call going into a meditative state right now. But it taught me more than that. It taught me goal setting. It taught me creative visualization. And I had some amazing successes with it, from allowing myself to succeed in martial arts and eventually representing my country at the U.S. Open Taekwondo Championships at the Colorado Springs Olympic Training Center. That was my first big success. It allowed me to I was a wannabe stage actor at that time. It allowed me to get a couple of roles which I would never have gotten by sheer luck alone. But more than that, it helped me start my own business, which is now worth millions of dollars. And creative visualization and the techniques from Silva had a profound effect on that too. But one of the most unique things about Silva was the impact it had on my health, specifically the techniques that I learned in Silva classes on how to take control of my body and how to heal common ailments that I would have. And just to give you an example, once while practicing martial arts, I had to do a couple of kicks in the air directly in front of a wall. And for whatever reason, my aim was off, and I ended up kicking a brick wall and really badly injuring my foot. I couldn't put my foot down. It was that painful. But my all reaction would have been to put a bandage around it, rush to the doctor, maybe put an ice pack on it. But what I did this time was I just sat down, went to the alpha level of mind, visualized my foot being perfectly fine, and within minutes, using the Silva pain relief technique, without having to take any medication, the pain disappears, the healing subsides, and my foot is back to normal. And that sort of experience was just amazing to me. Now, you may be saying, maybe my foot wasn't that seriously injured in the first place. So let me give you an example of a more serious injury. For about 5 years, I had chronic acne, so my skin was completely like flared up with pimples. I had that for 5 years. I'd seen doctors, I'd used medication, couldn't get rid of it. I had read in Jose Silva's book, Laura, that the skin is one of the easiest organs to influence with the mind. I applied Silva techniques, and in 4 weeks, I got rid of my situation. In other words, my skin cleared up, and it never reoccurred. And it was really those moments where I was able to use Silva to take complete control over my health that helped me fall in love with the system. And to this day, I practice Silva every single day. It's been close to 20 years since I discovered that book by your father, Laura. And Silva has completely changed my life.
So, that's wonderful. That's a great story. And Vishen, I mean, you approached your whole advancement and overall success from so many different angles. It wasn't just about working with the body, but it was about your attitudes.
Right.
It was about managing your fear and your anger. It was about working with, you know, your connection with all of who you are. And that part that you talked about so much is that part that's so invisible. That's that invisible part of us that people disregard too often. And it's really uncanny how much we focus on just what's concrete and what's tangible, what you can see, hear, touch, taste, and smell, which is the physical body, what you see in the mirror, what you can touch and actually say, this is real. And what's really the reality of the situation is that the realness of who we are is invisible, it's intangible, it's actually spiritual. And because it is, we tend to not value it or give it that importance, the importance that it merits, because most of who we are is invisible and intangible. It is spiritual. we're, as Dr. Dyer would say, and my father said over and over again to remind people, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And the quality of the human experience depends on you. It's not the other way around. It's not that we're a physical human, you know, physical being having an occasional spiritual experience. No. You know, we're spiritual beings having this human experience. And by the time the body reflects any ailment, any illness, any malfunction, any dis-ease, it is because it's had a years, maybe often many years, of building up of maybe distress and also abuse and neglect and lack of focus and concentration, and lack of knowledge. A lot of times it's just a lack of knowledge of how to do, or let's say how to think correctly, how to experience emotions properly, how to connect with source energy in a strong and a manner so as to heal ourselves and be, and let that be the reflection of our physical body. We must remember that the physical body is a reflection of all that's going on in the invisible part of us. So you handled it beautifully, and you learned it at a very young age, which is amazing that you grasped those deep tools that can really lead to a healthy, strong, loving, successful, enriched life, which is a birthright that we all have. And all of us should be able and can be able to achieve that overall whole and wholeness and completeness. And that's what, you know, I always emphasize to everyone, is that it's our birthright to be whole and complete and healthy. And you've done it. You're young, and I'm really proud of you. And I hear the story, and it, you know, just lifts my heart. Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely, Laura. So I'm, for everyone listening, here's what we're going to be talking about in this seminar. Silva covers a really, really, really wide scope. It's something that you can use in every aspect of your life. But for this seminar, we're going to focus solely on the Silva techniques for mind-body healing. And Laura's going to share with you some amazing results that people have gotten through Silva. She's going to talk about how her father, Jose Silva, first developed these techniques. She's going to share with you some of the early stories, and she's going to give you some idea of how you can get started with these techniques right now in your own home today. Now, before we begin, I want you to pull up this website if you're in front of your computer, silvamindbodyhealing.com/reserved, R-E-S-E-R-V-E-D, reserved. silvamindbodyhealing.com/reserved. All right, Laura, so let's start with the first question. Now, how did your father, Jose Silva, how did he first get started with healing?
Oh, well, back in the 40s, the early to mid-40s, he was drafted, you know, to serve his country. And when he went to the service, he was being questioned by psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, being checked over by doctors to make sure he was fit for the job. And by the time he was drafted, he was already married, had three children. And what caught his attention the most was when he was being interviewed or questioned or evaluated by a psychiatrist who was asking what he thought, my father thought, were kind of odd questions. He was being asked, do you wet your bed? Do you like women? And my father thought, why are they asking me these kinds of odd questions? I'm a 33-year-old man with three children. No, I do not wet my bed. And yes, I like women. What do you expect? I'm married. I have children. Yes, I like women. And he thought, you know, what odd questions. At the end of the interview, he asked the psychiatrist about that. You know, he says, why are you asking these strange questions when it seems obvious to me that, you know, it would be an obvious situation and those questions don't need to be asked? And the psychiatrist was kind enough to tell him, he says, well, we must ask these questions so it evaluates you and it gives us an insight as to how you think, you know, how you're processing information. And my father found that fascinating. Now, mind you, my father never went to school a day in his life, no formal education, because he was orphaned at a very, very young age. So he had to work at a very young age, from, you know, the age 4 or 5, 6, he was selling newspapers, shining shoes to help his mother support the family, because his father had passed away. So he never had a chance to go to school, yet he learned how to read and write by, you know, because his older sister, Josephine, had helped him how to read and write. So my father was an avid reader, and he became a very, very avid reader and a self-educated man. So the doctor then referred him to certain books by Jung and Adler, and then he studied Milton Erickson, and he went on to study a whole series, Freud, of course, and, you know, psychologists and other thinkers of his time, and he got very involved with hypnosis and psychology, behaviorism, yoga. And my father became a master hypnotist, and he saw great value in hypnosis, and he knew that this would be something that could help his children do better in school. And really, his main focus was how to help his children do better in school. If they did good in school, he believed, they would do good in life, make good grades, and get a good job, and so on and so forth. So it turned out that way, and he used hypnosis with his children. And somewhere along the way, working especially with my older brothers and sisters, like Isabel, Margie, Tony, Joe, Richard, he discovered something else, that they were becoming not only very good at what they were doing in school, but by spending more time at the ALF, or by spending more time at those, at the interior levels of mind. And we didn't know at the time whether it was alpha or not, or what frequency it was, but by doing so, they were also becoming more intuitive. And that took him through a whole different tangent in his discovery and what later on became the Soul Method. So in brief, that's really what happened with how the Soul Method came about.
Got it.
My father discovered that he could use hypnosis, in fact, to help his children do better in school, but something else was discovered even greater than that. And that was that while working, especially with my sister Isabel, who's a fantastic intuitive, she's a medical intuitive, she was quite young at the time, and she began to answer questions before he had even asked the question. And he was about to ask that question, but she was answering a question before he asked it. And he thought, wait a minute, there's really something going on here that's very, very strange. And he noticed that with Isabel on many occasions, and then with my other brothers and sisters, who were, by the way, his guinea pigs at first. So in working with the children especially, I mean, they only said what they were going to say. They only spoke the truth. And he thought, this is really interesting. This is really phenomenal. What do I have here? What am I discovering here? And what he found was that he was discovering in working with the children that he, in fact, had a process that could enhance a person's intuition. And he applied that process over and over again, and he had that, oh my God, this is working again and again. He had people gathering together. When they started to hear about this, the neighbors would come up and say, whoa, your children are doing great in school, and my God, they're so confident, and they're so accomplished. What's going on here? Teach my child how to do this. And as he began teaching some of the neighbors to the same techniques and the same process, not only were they also getting better in school, but they were also becoming more intuitive. Well, the word started spreading like wildfire, and the kids were telling their parents were telling the neighbors, and neighbors were telling their family members. And by the time you knew it, people were gathering at our house, like on Friday evenings, every night, and they wanted to know more and more about what he was doing. Can I learn this too? How can I be able to do these things as well? And by the time you knew it, I mean, it was really quite amazing. We had halls full of people who wanted to know more about this process that eventually became the Soul Method. It was phenomenal. The nights people would gather, which is once a week, were long. We used to go on, and he used to go on, I should say, till the wee hours in the morning. People were using their minds, being intuitive, viewing people at a distance, sending healing energy. It was just the most amazing thing that caught quite the attention of our group there, our city, and people, and neighbors. Everybody was talking about him. It was quite amazing.
I mean, And every time I hear that story, it's really fascinating. Now, can you give us some examples of how maybe you and I know you have something like seven or eight siblings, right?
Actually, there's 10 of us. I have
ten
six sisters
you.
And Yeah, there were 10 of us. Well, so we were quite a large family. So people always joke around the fact that my father had so many children too, because he needed some guinea pigs to work with, because nobody would work with him at first. And that probably was true until word started to spread, as I mentioned. And then he had lots of people who wanted to work with him and be his research subjects during that time. But there's a lot of amazing stories. I mean, I
So I'd
remember
love to hear a
Louisville.
couple of those stories, Laura. Like maybe stories from your childhood, or stories of those early times, people who had amazing results. I'd love to hear the stories. You said your
Well,
father
there was
effectively trained his kids and the neighbor's kids to function as psychics. Can you give us some examples of what happened?
Isabel is so amazing because of all the experience she had with my father and all the training that she had, which, by the way, most anybody can go through nowadays because we know how to do it. It's just, you know, someone could walk into a room that she may be in, and sure enough, she can scan them with her mind, and she can sense immediately what's going on with them. I was at a seminar not that long ago in Austin, Texas. And it was a group of nurses, and Isabel, she's a nurse anesthetist. She's retired now, but she was a nurse anesthetist for over 30 years. And so she's an extremely qualified medical intuitive. And she showed up at this seminar I was doing with the nurses, and the subject of being able to sense someone's illness came up. And so she said, I'll do demonstrations. She said, for example, you. I said, you happen to have a situation, and I know this for a fact, that you're having problems with your ovaries. And I see one of your ovaries, the left ovary, is dark. It's black. It's like it's non-functional. And she went on and on to tell her exactly what was going on, and as far as the process, what had to be done. Not only did she tell her what was wrong, she told her how to correct it and what to do. I mean, she does this over and over again. In fact, there was times that they'd be at the operating room, and she's being a nurse anesthetist, they'd be going through a medical procedure or an operation, and the doctor would have problems during the operation, and Isabel would tell him, look here. Because she had already scanned the body before actually going through the operation. She would scan the body, and she knew what was going on. She knew what was wrong with the patient. But she couldn't just tell the doctor right off the top. He was going to think, like, what's wrong with you? You're just a nurse. I'm the doctor here. And, of course, that was the nurse-doctor relationship. But after a while, I mean, there were several cases where she would say, please search here, you know, for maybe a kidney stone or something along those lines. And the doctor would then follow what she was saying after a while of a lot of attempts, failed attempts, and he would look at her and say, how did you know? How did you know that that's where the problem was? And she says, well, I just kind of had a gut feeling, she said. And the word started to pass around that she was able to have this knack about her to know exactly what was wrong with the patient. And doctors would literally request her services because she was so good at that. And, of course, later on they found out that she was a daughter of Jose Silva. And, of course, that made a huge difference after that because they knew that she was not only a great nurse and nurse anesthetist, but she was also a medical intuitive. And so that was a big plus on all sides. So it's really amazing. And the thing is that you can do all the time. There's a time she came up to me, and she was visiting from living in Spain. She came home to visit for the holidays, and she comes up and she says, oh my God, you're so warm, when she hugged me to greet me. And I said, oh, I know, I've just had I guess it's just a hot day. And she goes, no, there's something more here going on. She says, there's something wrong with you. And I said, no, I feel fine. And she tapped me down the back, just started tapping my back, and I went, ow. And she says, you've got a kidney infection. We've got to go to the doctor right now. And I said, what? And I just couldn't believe what she was telling me because it was like totally out of the question. There's no way I'm going to have a kidney infection. And she says, you have a kidney infection. Let's go to the doctor. And we happened to get an appointment. And sure enough, I had a kidney infection that was so severe. Landed me in the hospital for 10 days. They wanted to remove 3 quarters of my left kidney. And the only reason it didn't happen was because my father came in and did a healing application and took it away. I mean, completely healed me, that they let me go the day after exploratory. It was amazing. It was just amazing. And it was just, I mean, she, together with Isabel, when my father did, I would not have had a kidney today.
Wow.
Had he not done those two things. It's amazing. Had he
not
done those two things.
That's an amazing story, Laura. Because I like that story. That's an amazing story because it you mentioned two things that I know Silva does really well. Number one, it teaches people to intuit an illness that a loved one might have, And then it teaches people how to apply healing energy to help accelerate the rate of healing of that particular illness. So that is amazing.
Now, envision that's what a person can get empowered with. And I say this because just about a month ago, I went through that with my husband. And I'm telling you, I mean, out of the clear blue, he ended up with this terrible high fever of 105. Now, my husband's a very healthy man. I don't know, pretty generally speaking, he's a very healthy man. He exercises, eats right. He does everything right. And he's a great thinker and meditates everything. But he had this awful fever with no other symptoms in the fever. I applied the healing passes. I applied the techniques. He went into his meditation. We did the guided imagery. We did everything. We normalized the fever, and it kept coming back. And it kept coming back, normalized it again. And when it came back again with, you know, chills, and he's talking about the second day, I said, this, you know, we really need to get some medical attention because there's something there that's alerting us. And I always say the doctors can only do so much. You've got to do the rest, but you always need to take the doctors or your health caretakers into consideration. So we did. We went to our health caretaker's office, who happens to be a Silva grad, and he sent him straight to the hospital. And when we found out he had a bacteria in his blood and had led to a heart infection. Well, we continued doing the healing passes and continued with them over and over and over again. And at the end, what happened was that the doctor said that it was bizarre. That's exactly what they called it, bizarre. That they said that they couldn't find anywhere the bacteria had vegetated, although they had thought maybe it was a heart. It wasn't there. Nothing there in the aortas, nothing in his bones, nothing anywhere. They couldn't find where it came from. They couldn't find anything. In fact, this doctor, who's a friend of mine, almost indicated that I had contaminated the outcome because of all our healing practices that we were doing. And he's home. He's fine. He's healthy. And he's strong. And he's just doing super good. And I'm telling you, I know that it had to do with everything that we were doing and everything we were working on, because the cultures, the blood test, the bacteria was there. It was there. And suddenly, like, they couldn't find it. It was just the strangest thing. But I know that we had a lot to do with that.
That's beautiful. Now, if I'd love to share an example of what I experienced in a Silva class. May I?
Sure.
Okay, so I took my first Silva class, as I told you, I started with the books when I was 14. I took my first Silva seminar when I was 17 years old. And I was paired up with this lady. And so for those of you listening in, this is where it gets a little bit crazy, so I want you to keep an open mind. Of course, we know this is possible, but to an average person listening in who has never encountered Silva before, this sounds almost like magic. But here's what happened. So at the end of the class, you paired up with someone, and this person is someone you've been sitting in the class with for the last 2 days, but you otherwise may not completely know them. In this case, I was paired with a Silva graduate who walked in for the last 2 hours of the seminar, the portion called caseworking. Sometimes they have graduates come in to participate in this bit. So I'd never really met this lady before, but we had to face each other, and I had to go to my alpha level of mind, and she was allowed to give me only three pieces of information on herself: her name, her age, and where she lived, just the city. And at the alpha level, you start seeing images, and it almost sounds as if you're guessing. These are like fleeting images or thoughts that enter your head, and you're meant to keep talking and describe what you see. So in my case, I used the Silva technique to scan her body, and the first thing I noticed was that her bloodstream was blue in color. So that made me go, wow, and I described it. I said, I see your blood as being blue. And the second thing I said is, when I attempted to look at her head, all I saw was blackness, and I see this sad man in her head with three elephants dancing around him. Highly decorated Indian-style elephants just dancing around this sad man. So I described these to her, and she tells me, I was amazingly dead on. And she said, well, firstly, she did have an illness that in layman's terms is called blue blood disease. It's basically due to heavy smoking. Your blood is unable to absorb as much oxygen as possible because of the issues with your lungs. And so your blood has a slight purplish hue rather than reddish hue. And she had that illness, so that explained the blue blood I saw. But the craziest thing was, when I described that sad man in her head, she says, oh, that's my husband. He just got stationed to India for 3 months, and we haven't seen each other in a long time, and we are both really missing each other. And so I don't know how it happened, but the imagery I got was so accurate to the situations happening with her health and her emotional state of mind.
That's so true. You know, Virgin, I taught a class, that same class you're talking about, I taught it a couple of months ago, and there's a person by the name of George in the class. And when he saw that we were doing the caseworking, he didn't expect that to be the end of the class. I mean, he didn't know that was coming. And so when he saw that happening, he stood up, he started walking backwards out the door. And I turned, I looked at him, I said, "Wait, George, where are you going?" He goes, "I can't handle this. This is just way too much." I said, "Of course you can." I said, "Here, sit down." And he sat down. He was following instructions. I said, "Close your eyes and go into your meditation." And he did. He closed his eyes and he went into his meditation. I said, "Okay, now here's the image of the body of so-and-so. It's like a woman named Mary. She's 40-something years old. You know, put her on your mental screen. Scan her up and down from head to toes over and over rapidly and tell me what first comes to mind." I can't. Nothing comes to mind. And I said, "George, pretend like you're telling me a story about this woman." And he says, "I can't." I said, "Make it up. 1, 2, 3, anything." Because it's best when you just say what first comes to your mind. And you're right about what you said. It feels like you're making it up. But that's the right feeling. We always encourage people to do that. So he says, "Okay, I see balloons." I said, "Okay, what about balloons?" "She's got balloons in her abdomen." I said, "Balloons in her abdomen? Isn't that interesting?" "Vision, that woman had fibroid cysts throughout her entire uterus and her abdomen as well."
Wow.
And he saw them as balloons. And I thought, okay, fine. And he was just laughing, thinking he was making up a story. And I said, a woman shouldn't have balloons in her abdomen, so how do you heal that? And he says, "Well, I think I should just take them out and let them fly away." I said, "Well, take all those balloons out and let them fly away." So he started taking these balloons, I said, they had helium gas inside it, and they let them fly away from outside her abdomen until he imagined there was no balloons inside her abdomen. She was perfectly healed. And he said, "Okay, so there's no balloons there any longer." I said, "Fine." So you just, you know, made her back to normal like she's supposed to be, healthy and strong. And he's still chubby. He goes, "Yes, I think that's right." And I said, "Okay, good." Well, I said, "There's some additional healing energy, and imagine her going through time strong and healthy." Well, when he opened his eyes, he and I showed him the card that had all her information. He had not seen that one before. His jaw dropped, and he says, "Now I really have to get out of here." He was so dumbfounded by the fact of his accuracy and how it came to him. And that's what happens to a lot of people. There's a lot of symbology, but you learn through the process how to interpret what you pick up. And that's the beauty of the whole process. But this is the stories are amazing, amazing. I had a little boy vision who was like 8 years old, and he said that the person he was working on, and I gave him the name, address, and basically he lived in like Ohio State, something like that. He said that he had a broken heart. And I said, "How do you know he's got a broken heart?" I asked him. And he says, "Because the ruffle has torn off, and I have to glue it back on." What he had envisioned was a Valentine, like with a white ruffle around it. And the ruffle around the Valentine had torn off, and he was gluing the ruffle back on. This man had an infection of the heart lining, the lining of the heart. It was amazing. And it was just, how could a child know that? How could he know that? And that's the first thing. And how he healed it was by gluing the ruffle back on. And you know what? We get feedback from these people because we follow up on them. And that woman who had the fibroid cyst, she was completely healed. I mean, she had several people working on her, but this kind of energy healed her. The man with the infection of his heart, the lining of the heart, he became well again. And you have to just question. I mean, maybe there's no science to prove this, but I'm telling you, when we do things like this leads to health and healthy outcomes. And one thing that always is for sure is that you know as a human being that you're doing your part to help somebody else get healthier and better. And that's always a good feeling. It's just a gift you're giving to people. And I mean, and it's just amazing. The stories that we hear are just amazing.
And you know what, Laura? There is ample science to prove this. And I'm just going to share with the audience one particular study which adds so much validity to Silva and everything that Silva teaches. But before that, those of you listening in, I want you to go to silvamindbodyhealing.com/reserve to learn about the program, the Silva Mind Body Healing Program, and to check it out and to see if this might be something that might be suitable for you. And of course, as you know, every time you check out one of these websites during an interview, you are always getting a great deal. In other words, there's a massive price drop or there's an extra bonus, and it's usually just for the first 24 hours. So once again, it's silvermindbodyhealing.com/reserved. Now, Laura, that study I was talking about, it comes from William Broad, the scientist William Broad, whom I believe was knew your dad because he lived quite close to you guys in San Antonio, Texas. And William Broad ran the San Antonio Medical Science Center, I believe that it was called. Sorry, San Antonio Mind Science Research Center. And he did a study involving some 400 different participants where he would divide these 400-something people into two different rooms. One group in one room were called senders. The other group in the other room were called receivers. And there'd be scientists monitoring both these groups. And the receivers were hooked up to some 19 different machines that measured 19 different neurological responses. So skin resistance, heartbeat, brainwave production, stress levels, all that sort of thing. And the senders at a particular moment in time, say 1:53 to 1:54 p.m., were told to send positive thoughts to the receivers. So they knew the name and the age of the receiver they were matched to. And at those precise moments, the machines on the receivers would also be measuring the state of body and mind for the receiver. And what the scientists found was that at those particular moments, 1:53 to 1:54 p.m., for example, the machines would show a significant change in the neurological state of the receiver. For example, their skin resistance might go up, or their brainwave frequency might get more relaxed, or they might certainly be in a less stressed state, or their heartbeat might slow down. So it was really amazing, but it showed that two people could influence each other's health just by thinking about each other. And of course, this is just one of many, 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 many studies. That's the whole aspects of the placebo effect, where doctors are now finding that you can heal someone of illnesses that require surgery just by making them think that they've had the surgery. So, I mean, there's amazing scientific backing for the stuff that you guys teach. I'm a very scientific-minded person. I have a degree in computer science. So with me, I did massive research before I started investing so much time in Silva, and I found that there was so much knowledge out there supporting the work you do.
And you can only imagine, these are strangers with strangers. You can only imagine how much more powerful the effects are when you're working with your loved ones. During the winter, because it's summertime right now, so during the winter, my daughter Sarah, who lives in Houston, we live in Laredo, it's about 300 miles away, she came down, she was coming down with a cold, and she calls me up and she says, "Mom, I feel really badly, I feel like sick, and I think I can't go to work or school." And I said, "You know what?" I said, "Do you have, you know, all the fixings for nice chicken soup?" And she says, "I've got everything in the fridge." I said, "Okay, take it out. Make a really good, hearty, you know, chicken soup with all the right stuff. I give her the main ingredients to make sure. I said, call me when you're done." And she said, "Okay." So a couple of hours later, so she calls me up. I said, "The soup is done. Is it done, you know, cooking?" She says, "Yes, it's nice and hot." I said, "Okay, go into your meditation." And so she did it. And I said, "I'm going to go into my meditation while you're going into your meditation. Put your phone on speaker, and I'll put mine on speakerphone." So we both went into our meditation. The phones were on speaker, had the speaker on. And I told her, "Now, go into your meditation. I'll do it too. Put your hands over the soup." I said, "Now imagine that my hands are going to be superimposed into yours. And that way it's double the power. Your hands and my hands together," I said, "we're going to energize the soup with our human energy field and our mind field and our intentions and the love and all the goodness. And you're going to energize it, and you're going to use your imagery, and you're going to picture the energy going into the soup. You're going to imagine that you're eating the soup, and you're going to imagine yourself getting healthy, going to work, going to school, and feeling great." I says, "Okay." So we both did it together. I said, "Now, after we did that, enough, eat your soup and call me when you start feeling better." And sure enough, about maybe an hour and a half later, she was, "Mom, I'm ready to go to work." I said, "I'm going to go to work, and I'm sure enough going to school tomorrow. I feel great." I'm telling you, when you have that kind of connection with someone that you totally love, I mean, it's even more amazing. Like with my husband, I mean, the same thing. It's even more amazing. So, I mean, you have the ability. You have the power. You have the energy. Use it. Just use it. It's there for you to use.
Fantastic. And once again, it's silvermindbodyhealing.com/reserved. So, Laura, How did your father, Jose Silva, stumble upon the effects of the mind on healing? I mean, we've heard about his initial research. He was really trying to help his kids do better at school. That led to his discovery that kids could be highly intuitive. And then when experimenting with results, he found that he could train adults to be intuitive as well. But where did the healing come into play?
Well, he started to realize, he studied a lot. He studied yoga. He studied all kinds of practices. He started studying faith healers throughout the world, and he started to really look into the laying on of hands. He saw it in his own religion, Catholic by birth and by practice. They were Hispanic, and that's pretty popular around here in that way. And he started to practice, you know, what he saw in his own culture, religion, environment. He started to study the curanderos. He studied the Hawaiian methods. We went to South America, started studying. I mean, healers of all kinds. He said, there's something that has to be here. The greatest healer on earth, you know, as far as he knew, based on his culture and background, was, you know, as far as Jesus was concerned, started to study his techniques and started to look at him as a tremendous healer. He goes, what is he doing that's different and special? And he found that everybody who he seemed to study, no matter what methodology, no matter what culture or belief or whatever religion it was, it didn't seem to matter where it came from. They had certain common denominators. And he said, if I get those common denominators and I apply them, you know, can I get the same result? And sure enough, he did time and time and time again. And he put a lot of study, a lot of emphasis on healing. And so he started teaching the healing applications and healing in the hospitals and healing people who came in, laying on of hands, spontaneous remissions that seemed to occur. People, I remember once in the convention, I mean, people, there was two people who walked in there in crutches and another one in a wheelchair, and they both left walking. It was amazing. We were stunned, and it was just amazing. We followed them for like weeks on end. They got healthier and healthier through time. So, again, there are common denominators, and that's what he offers to the world. Those common denominators, when you put them together and you do it in this manner, you're going to get a positive effect. And that's what's amazing. I'm telling you, you can teach it to children. You can teach it to the eldest of eldest, you know. I mean, a child as well as an elderly person can learn these tools and apply them themselves. I mean, I've seen them in kids. I taught children's classes for so many years. I had a little boy who was like 6 years old who always had skin problems. Skin problems, I mean, like little blisters and eruptions all over his arms and legs. And he would wear long shirts and long pants, and he couldn't go out to play with his shorts on and with his friends in the summertime because he was so embarrassed. And this little boy learned how to apply the energized glass of water. He would energize his water, and he would energize the water to rub it on his skin so that the little blisters would dry and flake off. Within 7 days, he had done that. 7 days. To this day, he never had another problem again. It's just amazing, amazing things what the mind can do once it sets its mind to it. It's just amazing.
And you know what's cool? I noticed that a lot of the examples you give, people are really using their mind, they're using Silva techniques, but they're modifying it slightly. Like this little boy, you're saying he put water on his hand. With your daughter, it was that chicken soup visualization thing. With me, it was often right. Just straightforward, direct, creative visualization. But I see it's very adaptable. But what is the secret sauce? Is it being in the alpha level? Is it your belief system? What is it that makes it work for some people so well?
Yeah, the very main things that make a difference, the difference that makes a difference is going within. You must have that desire to want to get better, or sincere desire. Some people say, I want to get better, but they don't want to get better. It serves a purpose. You know, they don't have to go to work, or they don't have to do what they have to do, or they get away from things. It serves a purpose. But if you, that's not you. If you really, really desire to get healthy again, then you will, okay? So a sincere desire to get well, a belief that in your own ability, your human potential, a belief in what you're doing, the tools that you're applying, a belief that you're going to have, and an expectancy it's going to happen. So, I mean, the belief factor more than anything else. If you believe it, you're going to make it happen. And you hear that over and over again. Your beliefs will govern your living experience. So you must believe that what you are doing, you will, you know, will result in a better state of health. I mean, that's a fact. Because if you don't believe it, it's never going to happen. So Even the slightest bit of belief is better than no belief at all. But yes, desire, believe, and expect it, and the expectation it will happen without a doubt. And you, that means you keep your focus on it. You don't take your focus away from your outcome or your goal. You stay, you hone in on it, and you don't budge from that. And it will happen, and better than that. That's the thing, better than that.
Right, and I realize that, that there is a state of mind that people have to get into for this to work. But, and it's desire, belief, and expectancy. For those of you listening in, I actually benefited so much from Silva. A couple of years back, about 10 years back maybe, I got trained to become a Silva instructor, and I actually taught a couple of Silva classes in New York. I really wanted to take Silva training to a whole my Silva training to a whole new level, and I thought being certified as an instructor would help me get there. But Laura, I wanted to just touch on what you just said, desire, belief, and expectancy, because this was a key lesson for me. When I first was teaching myself Silva from a book, I was trying to heal a health problem I had. In that case, it was really, really, really poor eyesight. Now, these were the days before proper contact lenses, and my bad eyesight, I was almost legally blind, was really holding me back. And so I remember experimenting with Silva and going through all the exercises, going through the entire process, what I'd picked up from the book. But for months and months and months, I got zero results. And I realized that I had the desire. I believed it was possible. So I'd read in the book about Sister Barbara Burns, that nun who had gone from being legally blind to being able to see again within a few months by using an affirmation. Every time I blink my eyes, it will become, my eyesight gets better and better and better, and doing that at the alpha level. So I desired it. I believed it was possible because of the Barbara Burns case study. But the thing about me was I was so new to this, I didn't actually expect it to happen. I did not have enough faith or belief that this would actually happen to me. And in my case, back then, I had issues like issues where I felt undeserving or low self-esteem, or that my bad eyesight was something I was meant to live with. Mm-hmm. And all of this held back on that third point, expectancy. And so it's really important that you have all three lined up, desire, belief, expectancy. And I remember it was only several months later that I found out the answer. Reading one of your dad's books, I came across a line where he said, don't jump the gun. Start small and work your way up. And what I realized was that I was trying to heal something that was massive without having any smaller successes in healing. So I focused on smaller things. I focused on healing myself of a tiny leg injury, healing myself of a skin problem. And every time I hit a success there, my expectancy level would go up. And I would now expect bigger and bigger healings to happen. And over that, I was able to completely take control of my health. I'm proud to say that I rarely get sick. I rarely get injured. And I'm in almost a perfect state of health right now. I just went for a diagnosis, and I was told that I have the body of a 27-year-old.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
That's
about
wonderful.
That.
But you know, it's interesting you say that, because I had a case of a woman, Margaret, who came in, and she had a tumor, had developed a tumor in one of her breasts, and her situation was belief, because she had a lot of desire, and she even had belief. She had so much success, you know, beforehand with the Silva method and the techniques and the tools, but yet there was still an element of belief that was odd, because she expected it to happen because of all the evidence she had. But the belief is always very dimensional. For her, it was belief, because the tumor was so large that she was imagining the tumor going from so large to gone in her mind. And that, we found out, was so unbelievable to her. And I say, well, why are you sabotaging your outcome? The doctor didn't say get rid of it. He said, show me a sign that we're moving in the right direction. So just make it measurably smaller. Can you do that? She goes, oh, I can do that. So then she imagined the tumor the way it was, and then measurably smaller. And that was more achievable to her, more believable to her than making it completely gone. And see, that type of progressive guided imagery for her was necessary to get to the outcome of completely gone through time. But every time it was measurably smaller and measurably smaller. And every time she got feedback from the doctor, she kept, you know, programmed some more with her mind, picturing guided imagery, and made it measurably smaller. So she got rid of it. But see, that's an element of belief that she said, oh, it's too big. It's unbelievable. So yes, you must be clear about your desire, belief, and expectancy. And when things aren't budging, when your feedback is that you're not moving in the right in the direction of your choosing, then go back to belief, because it's very dimensional, and you may need to take it in a progressive type approach in order to get it, you know, completely gone. And you also said something, Vision, that was really important. You said that you felt you were undeserving, and that is another aspect that you must work with, because to be truly healthy, you must be healthy in your emotions. You must be healthy in your spirit, and you must be healthy in how you think, or your mind, the qualities of mind. So in order for the body to reflect and represent true health and well-being, of being whole and complete, all your invisible parts must be healthy as well. And that undeserving aspect contributes to your lack of health as well. Sometimes the non-deserving you says, I don't want to see it. I just can't see how it's going to be possible for me. It's not going to be a possibility. And that gets you programmed to weaken your eyesight, for example. And so there's elements in there that once we comb through them, then you can certainly come out to a holistic health and well-being.
Right, absolutely. And there are a lot of, it is a lot more complex, basically, than just going to a meditative level of mind and practicing creative visualization. There's the desire, the belief, the expectancy, and a whole degree of different mental states and often past issues that you have to deal with before you can really let the healing flow through. And that's why so many people don't have immediate results when they first try experimenting with this.
Okay, most people don't have immediate results because they're kind of society that wants a quick fix, you know, now. We want everything now. And, you know, this is a process. And the important thing is the quickest way to get to health is by going through the process, not looking for the quick fix. Because a quick fix will only always take care of the physical body and not the causes of the symptoms themselves. So right. We go through the process is a fastest route to health than the quick fix, always.
Right. And what I mean is when I say people don't have immediate results is people people get to a meditative level of mind. They practice creative visualization, which, you know, so many programs teach, but they forget the various mental components, states of mind, past programming that they have to overcome. And that's what I really appreciate about the Silva program. So, yeah. Laura, tell us this. So there's the Silva Life System program, which is the basic course that people take in a live seminar or purchase online. And you recently released the Silva Mind Body Healing program, which is available at silvamindbodyhealing.com. And the special URL for those people listening in is reserved. silvamindbodyhealing.com/reserved. Do not buy it from the main page, because you will get a far better deal if you go to silvamindbodyhealing.com/reserved. Laura, but tell us, what is different, or what additional material do you actually cover in Silva Mind Body Healing?
In the Silva Mind Body Healing, what's so special about that is that we actually go through discovering what are the necessary elements for each one of your parts that constitute your whole body. What is necessary as far as, let's say, managing your stress, or about fear and anger, overcoming that and understanding that, because 90% of all health problems, Vision, are stress-related. And we now know that stress is rooted in the emotional body, because what we used to think was the fight-or-flight response has now evolved to fear and anger. And fear and anger are not behaviors, they're emotions. So if 90% of all problems are stress-related due to the fight-or-flight response that has evolved to fear and anger, then 90% of all problems are emotionally based or rooted. So we must, you know, just take the journey to find out, where do I then resolve those things? And it's not a difficult journey. It just takes doing. That's all it is. The other thing is, to where are your beliefs at about health, about love, about relationships, about career, about money, abundance, about joy, happiness? What are your beliefs like? Are they attracting what you want into your living experience, or are you cheating yourself of having it all? So we evaluate the belief structures that must be such that attract more what you want into your living experience. And then we go part by part. What does the emotional body need to keep it strong and healthy? What does the spiritual body need to keep it strong and healthy? What does the mental body need to be strong and healthy? And what can you do to keep your physical body strong and healthy? We have Dr. Ray Jimenez, for example, that contributes a great deal of information during this little mind-body healing course to help you stay in line as far as what is the most important for your physical body to stay strong and healthy. And along with that, what are some of the tools and techniques that you can learn that you can then add to or contribute in maintaining your body strong and healthy. So we really evaluate and work with the body as a whole system, not just the physical body, but the whole body, which is spirit, mind, body, emotions, beliefs, what causes the stress factor and how to manage stress effectively, how to work with those, false addictions that we get so tied up with that really chip away from our living experience, from our ability to be whole and complete. And we work at it from that point of view. And the meditations are theta meditations. All the meditations are very, very deep meditations. And by that, they take you to a frequency of brain that is even deeper than alpha. And many of them are nighttime meditations, vision, and they're allowing you to release and let go of blocks and beliefs that are holding you back from being healthy, whole, complete, happy, love-filled, the very things that through time, when you don't have them, will chip away at your immune system and result in ill health. So the meditations are phenomenal.
That sounds very impressive. I mean, I can't wait to get started with this. I love the fact that in this program, you're taking people to the theta level of mind, a far deeper level of meditation. Well, in the initial program, from what I understand, you're mostly operating at the alpha level of mind.
That's right. It's a progressive situation. That's why it's important not necessary, but it's valuable to have a civil life system home study course as well, or the live presentation, because you have so many tools and techniques that help you to overcome the most challenging problems, like headaches, migraines, sleeplessness, pain, habit management, be able to work with problem solving and better your life. And so you have a lot of practice and a lot of experience in the civil life system that when you get to the civil mind body healing and you deepen further into theta, you've done half of the work already. And you've got a whole tool chest of techniques and understanding and applications and successes and evidence, experience that will truly lead to you being healthy, whole, and complete.
Laura, thank you. That was amazing. I enjoyed that, and I appreciate all the knowledge you shared with us today.
Well, thank you, Division. I really appreciate it. If anybody needs anything from me, I'm right here. I'm very accessible, and you know that.
Right, and for those of you listening in, go visit silvermindbodyhealing.com/reserved. It could be one of the best investments you ever make in yourself. I know because I've used it. I've been using it for 20 years, and it's done wonders for me. Once again, that's silvermindbodyhealing.com. Don't check out the first page. If you're interested in the program, go to /reserved, silvermindbodyhealing/reserved. Hope you had a good time. Laura, thank you so much. And
thank you, Vision.
Yep, and we'll connect again soon.